time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here with the national champions.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome in to the Wednesday edition of Overtime. I'm your host with Burt Ramin at Burt Ramin at Burt ESPN on Twitter. We're off and running, rumbling, bumbling over my language here as we get it started on this Wednesday edition of Overtime. A big day in the world of hockey, big day for the world of collegiate baseball, and a very sad day in Major League Baseball. The passing of Willie Mays. We'll remember the all-time great Willie Mays. Latest Major League Baseball news here in due time. We'll also have a baseball-related guest on today to check in on all the sights and sounds and stories from Omaha. College World Series action continuing right now on ESPN TV. Postponement from last night, Florida and Kentucky. And the unranked Gators pouring it on the second-ranked Wildcats right now to the tune of a 7-2 ball game. Early on, though, we'll wait and see this one in elimination contest. And the winner of this one, still with their back against the wall, will play later on this evening in an elimination game of their own. Again, Florida 7-1, the lead, bottom of the second. You can watch it right now on ESPN TV. We'll check in with Wayne McDonald Jr. of Forbes, whose UNC Tar Heels made the trek to Omaha, and they bowed out last night with their first elimination game, or the first game of last night's elimination pair, and UNC goes down. They are out of the College World Series. Heck of a season. We'll recap that. Best teams remaining, storylines going on there, and of course, we'll continue to remember Willie Mays throughout this Wednesday, June 19th edition of Overtime. There's a lot going on in the NBA. Pascal Siakam gets a new deal. Monty Williams bafflingly, stupefyingly let go by the Detroit Pistons. He's on the open market. Is that the Lakers' next premier guy, premier target for their head coaching opening? There was some interest in the past between the two parties. We'll see if they can get the deal done this time around, or if it's J.J. Redick, James Borrego, or someone else as the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. Latest from the NBA, 11:45. Hour number two, headlines of the day, and your first opportunity to win big this week. Okay, I lied. We did give away 4th of July Minnesota Twins tickets yesterday. We're going to be giving away a lot today for the identity crisis presented by the Original Pancake House. Former NFL football player. There's your courtesy clue off the jump. If you know your NFL, you should know this former NFLer. 605-362-3776 is always our contest line. The identity crisis, about an hour and 15 minutes from now. You can put it on your calendar, 12:20. And again, the contest line, 605-362-3776. Hour number two, the football talk continues with one of our favorites, Joe DeLeon, NFL college football analyst with the Believe Podcast Network. We'll be talking about undervalued teams this year. How undervalued are the Iowa Hawkeyes? There's another team down in Stillwater, Oklahoma, that is starting to get a little bit of buzz. The number of returning starters, the returning stars for that team for Oklahoma State, are they undervalued? We'll talk about the Hawkeyes and the Cowboys and so much more. Joe DeLeon checking in on some NFL topics as well around 12:30. And we round out this Wednesday edition of the show with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now to your scorecard. Game 5 of the NHL Stanley Cup Final. All of Canada waiting on pins and needles to see if Edmonton can prolong the series. Connor McDavid was fantastic throughout the season. Been pretty darn good in the recent part of this series. Last night, another big game for McDavid. This goal put him up 3-0.
Bouchard will launch it ahead for Fogle to skate into. He's got it left corner offensive zone. On his backhand to Connor McDavid, who breaks loose. McDavid, sharp angle shot, he scores! And Edmonton takes a 3-0 lead. Connor McDavid, his 7th from Fogle. And the Oilers threatening to drag the Panthers all the way back to Alberta.
3-0 was the score at that point. Odyssey audio courtesy of 630 CHED. McDavid was not done. Panthers showed a tremendous amount of resilience on their home ice last night, making it a 4-3 contest late. But an empty netter sealed the deal for Connor McDavid and Edmonton to prolong the series.
Panthers lose the battle, and Hyman was able to lift it behind Matthew Tkachuk. It's heading for the empty net, and Tkachuk brushed off the goal line. Rebound McDavid, fires and scores! And there will be a Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. McDavid said it, and now he's delivered. Edmonton dragging Florida all the way back to Alberta.
Gotta love the energy from the call north of the border. Again, 630 CHED. Connor McDavid says we're playing well enough and we've earned another game.
It's been a fun ride. We're glad it's going to go one more day, but that's all we've earned here is another day, another flight, and we'll be ready to go in Edmonton on Friday.
Edmonton on Friday, indeed. Game 6 Friday night, Panthers at Oilers, 7 o'clock on ABC, where it is the Oilers, a slight favorite. Florida on the money line, plus 105. Arda Okal on the difference he's seen in Edmonton in Game 4 and 5.
The number one reason, the singular thing, if you're pointing to one thing, why the Oilers have come alive in this game and, quite frankly, last game as well, is their superstar who wears number 97, Connor McDavid. 4 points in game 4, 4 points again in game number 5, and he was an absolute dynamo in this game. When the team needed him the most, he showed up and he showed out, and he had one of his signature highlight reel go through the entire team like they're pylons on the ice and make the nice slip pass across the crease to a teammate to score. We've seen that time and time again from Connor McDavid, and he did it again when the stakes are at their highest. And he set the record for most points in a two-game span in Stanley Cup Final history with 8, which is absurd to think about.
Absolutely true. Connor McDavid last night, 2 goals, 2 assists. Florida still leads the series 3-2. And if you're looking at the latest odds, DraftKings Sportsbook has the Panthers still a heavy favorite in the series, minus 330 on that overall value. Edmonton, plus 275. If you value the home ice, this could easily be a 7-game series. And if Edmonton wins game 6, it's hard to believe the way that momentum goes in sports that Edmonton wouldn't be favored in game 7. I know it's home ice for Florida, but dropping 3 in a row after up 3, not a good look for Florida. It has happened one time in the history of the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, never in the history of the NBA Finals, that a team has surrendered a 3-to-none lead and lose the series. We'll wait and see, but again, game number 6, Friday night from Edmonton, Panthers at Oilers, 7 o'clock on ABC. Now diving in to the world of Major League Baseball, by the way, from the NBA first, NBA Draft Wednesday, Thursday, June 26th. 6th and 27th next week on ABC and ESPN. Big news out of the NBA, Monty Williams let go from his position in Detroit. What's next for the coach? Here's Evan Cohen on Unsportsmanlike This Morning.
The Lakers have not hired a head coach. We've all assumed it was going to be J.J. Redick. I said a week or two ago, I thought maybe they were going to try to trade for and get Monty Williams. I have since backed off that a little bit because I thought it was going to be J.J. Redick. I think now, if you ask me today who's going to be the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, I think Monty Williams has to be even odds with J.J. Redick. Now, all hell breaks loose because of the fact that the Los Angeles Lakers are going to be tied immediately to Monty Williams.
It's going to be interesting for the remainder of this saga for the Lakers head coaching vacancy. This will be remembered for a long time. The swing and the miss, the early Redick speculation, swing and the miss on Dan Hurley of UConn. They reset. It felt like Redick, but everybody's saying, what are they waiting for? Is it Borrego? Could it be a trade for Monty Williams? Monty Williams now available, and by the way, still going to get paid $65 million from the Detroit Pistons. First go round when they were flirting with Williams as the next head coach the Lakers not too long ago. They were a little bit far apart on the value. Now Williams getting paid a bunch of money to not coach. Could they get that value where it is benefiting both parties to be the next head coach of the Lakers? I'm going to say it now. Monty Williams, better hire for the Lakers right now
than J.J. Redick. They fired up the debate this morning on Unsportsmanlike as I was driving in, talking about J.J. Redick, the best landing spots, the franchises that need to or could go ahead and get away with a hire that has no coaching experience like J.J. Redick. The Detroit Pistons are on that list. Young team, they could grow with the young coach, get some marquee assistants in there with them. Maybe it's Redick to Detroit and Monty Williams to the Lakers. But again, we'll wait and see. Nothing has been concrete in this situation at all with the Lakers and their head coaching vacancy. Out to Major League Baseball now. Cubs won finally against San Francisco 5-2. Chicago now 35-39 on the season. A lot of walk-offs yesterday. Miami over St. Louis 9-8 in 10 innings. A spectacular catch at the wall for Milwaukee to take care of the Angels 6-3. Other finals. Cleveland lost yesterday to Seattle 8-5. Detroit lost to Atlanta 2-1. And the Minnesota Twins had to continue winning when everyone in the division is losing, right? It all came down to the wire as Minnesota finds a way to get it done. And this one also ended at the very last moment. Big time play for Carlos Santana.
Carlos awaits with a pine tar smeared helmet. Pitch delivered. Breaking ball line. Right center field. That's a base hit. Here comes Manny Margot. Here comes Manny. And this one's over. The Twins will walk it off. Pinch hitting Carlos Santana adds the extra point, and the Twins win a rain-soaked series opener, 7-6 the final.
41-32, the new record for Minnesota, and they have finally climbed out of third place in the AL Central. They are outright holders for now of second place in the division with a record of 41-32. Six straight wins for Minnesota. Every other team in the top four, so Minnesota on a six-game winning streak. Every other team, those other three squads that aren't the White Sox, all have multiple game losing streaks going. Minnesota, a great time to be winning, and winning in droves. Six straight wins for them. Johan Duran with the win yesterday, 3-2, his record on the season. Other finals, White Sox won in over Houston yesterday from Chicago 2-0. Chicago's new record, 20-54. And the Dodgers were down big in their game out in Denver against the Rockies. And this one changed in the ninth, where the Dodgers pour it on Colorado.
Ball game in the balance right here. 2-2. Swung on, hit in the air to right center field and deep. This ball heading back. This ball's gone. It's gone. It's gone. A three-run home run to Oscar Hernandez. And the Dodgers have come all the way back to take the lead. Oh, my goodness. Absolutely incredible. It's 11-9 as the Dodgers down to their last strike. Strike big time as Teoscar hits his 18th home run of the year.
The Dodgers are going to Dodger. The Rockies are going to Rocky. Seven runs in the ninth inning for the L.A. as they win on the road in Denver 11-9. Colorado with that latest loss, 25-48. The energetic audio there courtesy of KLAC. One other final. Kansas City did lose to Oakland on the road yesterday 7-5. Royals now 41-33. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Tigers at Braves get going here momentarily. It's an 11:20 start time. Cardinals at Marlins a little later on this morning. Giants and Cubs at 1:20. Mariners at Guardians. Rays at Twins. 6 o'clock start time for the pregame coverage for Minnesota. 6:40 the start time for game 2 of the series against Tampa Bay. Astros at White Sox. Dodgers at Rockies. Brewers at Angels. A's play host to the Royals. The smattering of other games concerning area and AL Central teams today in Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball today wakes up mourning the loss of one of the all-time greats. That is Willie Mays. Here's Clinton Yates of Anscape talking about Mays and his impact in baseball and outside of the sport of baseball.
A lot of people look at Willie as very much numbers, but the man he was, the impact he had on more industries than just baseball, is really something that I think is a crucial chapter in American history in terms of so many different things that happened. I mean, let's be real here. The San Francisco Giants do not exist without Willie Mays. It's as simple as that. And the Giants were the highest grossing team on the road for like a decade in the middle of his career because of him. I mean, the guy was an American superstar. We throw that word out all the time these days. Oh, this guy's a superstar, this superstar, that, just because he's got a max contract in the NBA in some random town. No. Willie Mays was a superstar. That's the definition of it. And all these other people were just trying to play for seconds.
The legacy speaks for itself. Going on, talking a little Willie Mays here, Andrew Dimbort on the early stages of Willie Mays' Hall of Fame career.
Willie Mays, the Say Hey Kid, was one of baseball's greatest, both on the field and off it. Born in Alabama, he started playing pro ball in the Negro Leagues while still in high school. At 20, he was playing for the New York Giants, where he'd win Rookie of the Year. His first hit? A home run. He would hit 660 of them in his career, ranking sixth on the all-time list.
We'll continue to remember Willie Mays, the great Major League Baseball star, later on in the show. Coming up immediately next, Major League Baseball news and more on the passing of Willie Mays. Rounding out the scorecard, WNBA action last night. Connecticut continues with their league best record, 13-1, with a 79-70 win over LA at home. New York Liberty went down in Phoenix last night, 99-93, just the third loss of the season for New York. Diana Taurasi goes for 19 points and 9 boards as Phoenix improves their record to 8-7. Tonight in the WNBA, Mystics visit the Fever at 6 o'clock on NBA TV. 7 o'clock jump time from the Twin Cities as the Lynx play host to the Dream. Lastly, 9 o'clock jump for the Aces home to the Storm. That one viewable as well on NBA TV. NASCAR race coming up this weekend, Sunday from New Hampshire, 1:30 broadcast time on the USA Network. PGA Tour returns to action. The Travelers Championship from TPC River Highlands in Connecticut runs Thursday through Sunday. And college baseball, we got one game in yesterday. That was Florida State winning over North Carolina 9-5. UNC Tar Heels officially eliminated from contention. Kentucky and Florida was postponed till today. This one still in the early stages. Now bottom of the third. Gators all over the second-rated Wildcats. At 7-1 the score there. Winner of this one will move on to face Texas A&M at 6 o'clock tonight. Early game, second game of the day, but early scheduled game today is now 2 o'clock on ESPN, Tennessee and Florida State. And to set the stage for those of you that haven't been paying attention, Tennessee and Texas A&M playing in different games today, both have yet to lose. So, Florida State will have to beat Tennessee two successive times to go ahead and punch their ticket to the College World Series final. Same deal for whoever comes out of this game right now, Florida or Kentucky. It'll be, they'll have to beat Texas A&M two times to send them packing double elimination. The presumptive favorites to be in that Men's College World Series final are both the teams that control their own destiny right now, Tennessee and Texas A&M. 2 o'clock, 6 o'clock tonight, and a game in progress right now that is an elimination game between Florida and Kentucky. Let's dive into your Reliabank headlines of the day here quickly. The Sanford Sports 16 and under black girls basketball team has been selected to compete in the 2024 USA Basketball Club Championships July 27th through the 29th in Rock Hill, South Carolina. They're one of only 24 squads nationwide to receive an official invitation to the event. The team is made up of 9 players from the Midwest and 4 South Dakotans among the group. The South Dakotans hail from Wagner, Harrisburg, as well as O'Gorman and elsewhere. Hamlin, the final city represented there on that color black baseball team or basketball team for Sanford Sports. Heck of an opportunity. More on that, sanfordsports.com. South Dakota State's men's basketball slated to be part of a multi-team event featuring programs that reached postseason play a season ago. 5 programs that reached postseason play a season ago, with 3 that advanced to the NCAA tournament, as the Jackrabbits will compete in the upcoming Cayman Islands Classic. The 6th edition of the popular tournament hosted by KMAX Sports Limited will take place on November 24th through the 26th at John Gray Gymnasium at Georgetown Grand Cayman, just minutes from the world-famous 7 Mile Beach. SDSU coming off a tremendous season in which the Jackrabbits won the Summit League regular season and conference tournament titles. The Jacks advanced to the 2024 NCAA tournament along with fellow Cayman Islands Classics participants Boise State and Duquesne. Other postseason participants from a season ago that will appear in the tournament include Boston College, as well as runner-up High Point for the CBI. Rounding out the tournament field for the Cayman Islands Classic, Hampton, Missouri State, and Old Dominion. More on that, and again, travel packages soon to be announced. Go Jacks! Reliabank.com. Rounding out your Reliabank headlines of the day here for hour number one. If you haven't seen the video, you got to watch the video. And this is coming from a Packer fan. This is not a big deal, although it did make me chuckle. The Vikings won't have to worry about quarterback J.J. McCarthy ever threatening to leave football to play baseball. McCarthy threw out, as well as Dallas Turner, who was even worse, McCarthy threw out a ceremonial first pitch at the Twins game last night, and it did not go well. Check out the video, ESPNSiouxFalls.com. It got away from the catcher. Technically was a wild pitch, not as wild as all-time awful first pitches like 50 Cent, but awful as it relates to pro athletes who throw things for a living. Of course, people are out to defend J.J. McCarthy. That's fine. It's not that big of a deal. Nobody's saying he's a bust. It's confirmed. He can't throw a baseball, so he can't throw a football. It's just a bad look. And the video that we have linked up to ESPNSiouxFalls.com, you can hear an audible groan and moan from the crowd there in the Twin Cities. Oh, man, this is our quarterback. Did you see that throw? Yuck. But again, there's a lot different about baseball and football. You're up on the mound. You got some nerves. You're a little loose as opposed to being out there warmed up and ready to rumble on the football field. Not a big deal. This is one of the biggest off-season headlines. If you could ever pen one up to represent where we are in the NFL off-season, not a big deal, but tongue-in-cheek joking around just a bit outside for J.J. McCarthy from the Minnesota Twins game last night. Again, Dallas Turner, the pass rusher, doesn't throw a football for a living. His was even worse, up and outside, just about outside of the ballpark yesterday for the first pitches for the Minnesota Twins. Those are your Reliabank headlines of the day. When we come back, we continue to remember the great Willie Mays, latest news from Major League Baseball, and another star hit by a pitch on their hand. But this one, x-rays, MRI, coming back clean for one of baseball's youngest and brightest stars out there. We fill you in on that and much, much more next on Overtime.
Throwing TDs, touchdown. Hitting pass balls, and draining the three ball. We've got you covered from every angle on ESPN 102.3, AM 1000, KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Sports 24/7. Just say Alexa, play ESPN Sioux Falls.
Always stay connected.
Right back with you on this Wednesday edition of Overtime. Updates from Major League Baseball. The Minnesota Twins will place outfielder Alex Kirilloff on the injured list after all with back trouble 6 days after the struggling former top prospect was sent down to AAA. A contrite Kirilloff rejoined the Twins at Target Field yesterday for treatment, having acknowledged he understated the severity of his injury because he wanted to keep playing. Kirilloff had an MRI exam on May the 26th, the results of which did not suggest he'd be sidelined, but after the 2016 first-round pick was demoted, he reported more significant soreness and pain in his lower back with nerve-related discomfort running down his leg. Kirilloff has been out, batted 201 with 8 doubles, 3 triples, 5 homers, 20 RBIs, 15 walks, and 47 strikeouts through 57 games. Minnesota Twins, though, right now, playing really well. Second longest winning streak in Major League Baseball at 6 games, second only to the New York Mets, currently have 7 games in a row under their belt. The Yankees opened a marquee 3-game series last night against the Orioles, a second-place behemoth on the heels of them in the standings with a 4-2 win at Yankee Stadium. But the result was sullied by what happened in the third inning. Aaron Judge was hit by a 94-mile-an-hour fastball on his left hand and exited the game an inning later. Pretty darn concerning. The good news, though, we just saw Mookie Betts going to be sidelined for a while with a broken hand as a result of a hit by pitch on the hand. Aaron Judge, just a couple nights later, same deal. X-rays clear, MRIs clear for Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees. I'm sure he might be dinged up, miss a little bit of time, but nothing paling in comparison to what the Dodgers are dealing with Mookie Betts. We're going to shuffle up here. We'll get back to more Willie Mays talk here shortly on the show. Wayne McDonald Jr. of Forbes will join us next on this Wednesday edition of Overtime. Don't go anywhere. We're back with more of the show after this.
ESPN Sioux Falls get you back to more of Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Wednesday, June 19th edition of Overtime. Stay tuned in hour number two, your opportunity to win big with the Identity Crisis brought to you by the Original Pancake House. It's time now, though, to talk about the College World Series, talk about Major League Baseball, and first and foremost today, tough news to pass along, the passing of all-time great Willie Mays. Joining us now on the ESPN hotline, one of our favorites talking baseball with us throughout the calendar year, Wayne McDonald Jr. of Forbes joins us on the ESPN hotline. Wayne, welcome to the show, man. I got to ask you, though, right off the jump, Willie Mays, what comes to mind? What will you remember? And what sticks with you? What comes to mind today as we remember one of the all-time greats in Major League Baseball?
Well, there's a sense of melancholy. I was thinking about this morning. He was the last connection to Willie, Mickey, and the Duke, and the golden age of Major League Baseball. When you really think about it, on so many different levels, I think the really big thing that I think about in that regard is the fact that, you know, there's no example. There's no person or ball player that you would say is an equivalent. And that's the big sad commentary today.
And it's very well said. And you got to say, among the Mount Rushmore, and I know those things are overplayed, who's on your Mount Rushmore, whatever, I feel like a lot of people would be in agreement. Willie Mays, if not the best player, top three, top five, but just a guy that was so much bigger than baseball. Have you ever had an opportunity to bump elbows with him, meet him anywhere, or just be around him? Any stories you've heard that come to mind today?
He's one guy I didn't bump elbows with. You know, I could say Mickey Mantle and Duke Snider, yes, but not Willie Mays. But the one thing I kept thinking about is if you want to give a comparison to, say, a younger fan that maybe at 12 to, you know, 30-year-old range, we can really learn about baseball, take Ken Griffey Jr. at his zenith and take Barry Bonds and take the cloud of steroids away from him. Combined the two of them, and that's Willie Mays.
That's very well said and hard to believe. But again, larger than life figure, Willie Mays passing away within the last 24 hours here. Shock and melancholy, as Wayne McDonald Jr. just posted up here with us on the show. College baseball, it's a celebration this time of year. You got Major League Baseball heating up less than a month from the All-Star break. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I want to give college baseball its time to shine. You and I talk all the time how underrated that is, how underrated college softball is. The action this year from Omaha is not letting anyone down. There's a game on right now where Florida is pouring it on second-ranked Kentucky. Very hot team for the Gators. But from start to where we are now, what has stood out about the coverage from Omaha this year?
Well, after I put my personal feelings aside with North Carolina on the back burner, it's been awesome. It's been absolutely amazing. But you and I know this. Look, I cover North Carolina in the ACC for the ACC Network, extra. I see a ton of elite college baseball. And my thought process is I love what ESPN does. Every June, the ratings are fantastic. People are tuning in. The baseball is top class. And what I love is I'm getting people back in New York reaching out to me saying, thank you for turning us on to college baseball. This is unbelievable. So what we're seeing on ESPN is downright exceptional, but I see it all the time. You see it all the time. So I think the equivalent is what we're seeing with the WNBA right now. Thank you, Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
People are paying attention. So I hope people start paying attention to college baseball because this is what I see every February through June. And it's a total blast. And you know what? Omaha is downright awesome.
And I've heard all sorts of rave reviews so far. People that have gone there in person, people watching on TV, listening on the radio, everything in between. Been a lot of fun. I wanted to ask you, though, quickly before we dive in to today's action and what to expect. if you were laying out the schedule, we have a postponement like we did last night. I've got a buddy texting me right now talking about his Florida Gators. And if they win this game, it's brutal. You got to play later with your back against the wall again. Do you have a problem with the fact that they postponed last night, they're playing today, and then they've got to go turn around and play again today? Do you think they should have pushed it into tomorrow? Where do you view that as far as the scheduling kind of act of God, weather sort of delays here and how they affect these tournaments?
Well, Bert, that's a great question. And my mindset immediately goes to the regionals, and really the regionals. When you think about it, because there are situations, I'll give you an example. In the Chapel Hill regional that I was at, LSU had to play two games in one day, and they had to win, you know, because they put the, you know, North Carolina had beat them, you know, and then they were put in a little bit of a precarious situation. So ideally, you're not going to get probably the best baseball, but here's the reality at this point in time this season. It's not always the best team that wins, it's the hottest team that wins. And, you know, Mother Nature always plays a factor when it comes to sports like baseball. So it's not ideal, but the reality is you're also dealing with broadcast agreements, you're dealing with safety. I can't tell you how many times games have been delayed with thunder and lightning 10, 12, 15 miles away from Oshima Stadium, where I call games from. So I was disappointed, but understand the grander scheme of how it all plays out from a broadcast perspective, but from a fan perspective, it probably is not the most ideal situation.
Yesterday's final, Florida State 9, North Carolina 5, as North Carolina finishes up the season with a record of 48-16. Right now, Florida still on top of Kentucky, 9-2. That in the top of the fourth. Later on this afternoon, Tennessee, Florida State at 2. Texas A&M, to be determined the opponent, winner of this game between Kentucky and Florida. That is a 6 o'clock projected start time. Catch all the action on ESPN. We're talking with Wayne McDonald Jr. of Forbes here on the Wednesday edition of Overtime. When it comes down to personalities and all the fun we're having, everybody that we're getting to see for the first time, second time, third time here in Omaha, what is your favorite story out of the teams remaining that that has you rooting for a particular team, if you are rooting for anybody other than UNC?
Well, I'm licking my wounds today. and, yeah, it's a great question because, you know, who do I want to see win now? And probably for me, it's, hey, look, I'm an ACC broadcaster, so I want to see Florida State obviously continue to do well and everything. But they have a monumental climb ahead of them against Tennessee. So if you're asking me for like maybe a rooting perspective, hey, I'd love to see, you know, Link Jarrett and FSU kind of put something together. But look, Tennessee looks awesome.
Yes.
Tennessee looks fantastic. So I would probably say that, but here's the God's honest truth. I'm just looking forward to watching awesome baseball. That's probably the best way I look at it. Hey, Omaha got to see Vance Honeycutt. I saw him for 3 years. I think everyone realized why he's going to be a first-round draft pick and why he's going to go down as probably one of the greatest Tar Heels who ever played baseball. So that was my big story, but going forward, wonderful baseball, and I'll pull a little bit for Florida State.
Hey, sounds good to me, and definitely keep that ACC allegiance alive. Speaking of looking awesome, looking good, how about the stashes this year down in Omaha, whether it's Tennessee, Kentucky, the dyed blue stash? At your prime of growing a mustache, Wayne, is there any way you'd hold a candle to these kids? My answer is a definitive no, but how on board are you with the stash game we've seen in Omaha and throughout college baseball this year? And also, I would prefer stashes becoming a thing over the mullet coming back again. What do you think?
Well, I covered Duke, North Carolina for the last regular weekend in the regular season. And Duke probably has the best mustache game in all of college baseball. but here's the thing. I love the fact that these student athletes can express their personalities. I love it when it started with the cleats and now, hey, facial hair. Now, in my peak of growing facial hair, peach fuzz is probably the best I could do. But, you know, different strokes for different folks. And you know what? If the fans love it, if it creates this camaraderie, if it's these things, go for it. You know, how many times have we heard in hockey, you know, playoff beards or players shaving their heads? it's all good for me. It's just part of the fun and the spirit of college athletics, and we need to celebrate it.
And it's been a ton of fun from Omaha so far. And again, just a couple games remaining in our way until getting solidified with the Men's College World Series final. Best of three series coming up. The presumptive favorites, the teams without losses so far, Tennessee and Texas A&M. That's where we stand from down in Omaha. Major League Baseball, Wayne, pretty ugly week for injuries, I'd say. What is the most concerning injury? And also the Yankees getting some relief with Gerrit Cole back in the lineup, although Aaron Judge a little bit of concern. Where do you stand on the big injuries this week?
Well, if I'm a Dodgers fan, I'm very upset. But also if you're a baseball fan, because who doesn't want to see Mookie Betts play?
Yeah.
The big thing I can say, anything that you're dealing with the hand right now, any fractures of your hand, there are so many little bones in the hand. And your hands are so important to being a baseball player. So when they're telling you 6 to 8 weeks, for me, it's more like 8 to 12, you know. Mm-hmm. So that is, for me, being a baseball fan, I'm profoundly disappointed that we're not going to see Mookie Betts just because he's one of my favorite ball players to watch. The Aaron Judge situation, I saw that live last night, and I think millions of Yankees fans' hearts sank into their stomachs last night. Because the Juan Soto Aaron Judge experiment is working very well. And we saw the all-star rankings come out with the polls so far. And I think America wants to see Aaron Judge and Juan Soto in the same outfield during the all-star game, just like we would want to see Mookie Betts out there. So I'm very concerned about these fractures in the hands, just because of how important hands are to hitting. And from my experience of working with and covering college baseball players, we see that more and more of an issue with hand injuries these days, like breaking the hammock bone and the hook on this bone. So it is a concern, and definitely I'm worried about Mookie Betts.
Wayne, lastly, before we let you go, just wanted to ask you about undervalued teams in Major League Baseball. I feel like we do this every time, but I like to find these diamonds in the rough that don't get the coverage. Not the Yankees, not the Mets, not the Cubs when they're playing well. We talked about the Brewers last time, gave them some run. They're still pretty darn good, 43-30. But the team out in the AL West right now, I haven't heard a whole lot about Seattle. They're 10 games better than anyone in their division, 14 games up on the Angels, and of course the Athletics bringing up the cellar there. What do you like this year about Seattle, and what do you think about their prospects as we get closer to the All-Star break?
Well, the big thing they've done is they put distance between them and the Astros. And the Astros, let's face it, the Astros and Rangers are probably two of Major League Baseball's biggest disappointments this year. And I'm not going out on a limb here. Both of them at 33-40, once the defending world champion. So for me, I'm still not there buying them as a legitimate contender for the pennant just yet.
Yeah.
I'm of the thought process that's going to come out of the AL East, because I think that Orioles, Yankees, both teams are looking really good. And here's the thing. In our last conversation, we talked about the Minnesota Twins. Hey, if they're about five games out of the AL Central lead around the All-Star break, you got to go for it. Here we are today. They're 41-32 and they're 4.5 out. So, a healthy Royce Lewis, hey, that's a pretty special team there. So biggest disappointment for me, the Astros and the Rangers. I'm not buying the Mariners just yet. I still believe it's going to come out of the AL East, whether it's the Yankees or the Orioles right now.
Certainly a lot to look forward to as we inch closer to the 4th of July holiday. Immediately following that, Major League Baseball All-Star break. We'll check in with you again soon, Wayne. Wayne McDonald Jr. of Forbes, our guest. Always appreciate the time. I will enjoy the action in Omaha. I know you will as well. Enjoy the rest of the college baseball season. We'll do it again here soon on the show. Thanks, Wayne.
As always, Bert, best wishes and many thanks.
All right. Always, always great stuff from Wayne McDonald Jr. You can find him on Twitter at WMCDon25, also at Forbes.com with the latest for Forbes Sports. And again, College World Series, I got to tell you, I sell you guys on this year in and year out here on the show. So much to look forward to each and every year from down in Omaha. I've never been in person. I would love to go down to Omaha. I just need to shut up and buy my tickets, book my hotel room, and get the deal done next year or sometime very soon, especially as my kids just get a little bit older and a little bit more agreeable around sporting events. Because I got to be honest with you, lately, whether it's the Summit League tournament, NSIC tournament, Sky Force game, a Canaries game, no matter what it is with my kids, I think I spent the majority of the time at the concession stand, riding the escalators, doing anything other than what I want to do, which is sit in my chair, grab an adult beverage, and watch the game. Just like any other dad in the history of daddom, I would love to be sitting there, but the age of the kids right now, not conducive. But as they get older, could twist an arm a little bit, get out in the stands for baseball. And by the way, baseball, the best passive snacking sport ever. Very conducive to bringing kids with the peanuts and the Cracker Jacks, the ice cream, the Dippin' Dots. No matter what it is, baseball's the best snack live in-person sport out there. And I can't wait for that College World Series to be back again next year. Score update, Florida 9, Kentucky 2, bottom of the fourth right now in that contest. That's an elimination game. Winner on to face Texas A&M tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to keep it here. I accidentally burned two breaks in a row earlier, so I apologize for going break on you guys, but we got some bonus time here to talk about the NBA. Big news today, after one season, the Detroit Pistons are making a change in dismissing head coach Monty Williams, who leaves with 5 years and $65-plus million left on his deal, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. The decision to fire Williams was made at the ownership level, according to Woj. New team president Trajan Langdon will move to make his own coaching hire now. The Pistons finished an NBA worst 14-68 in Williams' one and only season with the franchise. The two-time NBA Coach of the Year was lured to Detroit with a massive six-year deal after he was let go by the Suns last year. He had initially planned to sit out a season while dealing with his wife's cancer diagnosis, but took on the Pistons rebuild under former Pistons GM Troy Weaver. Is this a good decision? I don't think so when it comes to letting go of Monty Williams. I don't think he should have been fired out in Phoenix, but that again is mashed potatoes. You can't unmash the potatoes after they've been mashed. So Monty Williams gets a six-year deal in Detroit. If you didn't have confidence in him, sign him to a shorter deal. But again, different front office. People want their guys, as we hear in every single sport. New front office, new head coach. I want my guys. I want my own quarterback. I want my own DC. I want my own guys in the building. You can't fault them for that, but still stupefying to let somebody go with 5 years and he's owed $65-plus million by the Detroit Pistons. And as we heard from Evan Cohen here off the jump on the show today, the Lakers have entered the chat to acquire Monty Williams. We'll see if an interview takes place, a conversation takes place. At times this offseason, it felt like J.J. Redick's the guy for L.A. Boom, let's mark it up. We'll get it done. Dan Hurley came in. Offer made. Courtship made. Cross-country road trip. Plane trip made. And to no avail, Dan Hurley stays there in stores in quest of a three-peat. Lakers reset. You get a little bit more steam on J.J. Redick. James Borrego sprinkled in there, and still no decision made out in L.A. Maybe they've got the idea that something was coming with the Pistons. Maybe they were waiting on this to see about the opportunity and the potential of Monty Williams. But the Lakers, make no mistake about it, are dragging this on and on and on. And it feels like it's trending just towards disaster for the LA Lakers. Pretty good landing spot for Monty Williams, I would say. They had courtship relationships in the past in terms of experience and interest in making him the head coach of the past, far apart on value. But regardless, the interest was there in the past. Maybe it's there this offseason. And if you're asking me honestly, if the Lakers wanted to immediately become a contender again, go right back to it, regroup, and hit the ground running with an experienced and veteran head coach, this is a better hire for the Lakers than J.J. Redick. It absolutely is. I know Redick's a good basketball mind, no coaching experience, younger guy, former player. You never know how personalities are going to mix, but J.J. Redick, certainly a good kick of the tires hire for the Hornets, for the Pistons, for the small market teams, maybe for OKC a couple years ago. But now J.J. Redick to the Lakers, that doesn't feel like a match made in heaven. Personalities could align there, but we'll wait and see. I would have a feeling Monty Williams at least a discussion in regards to the head coaching role there with the Lakers. Lastly here, as we round out our number one, big news, big contract given out in the NBA as of this morning. All-star forward Pascal Siakam intends to sign a four-year, $190 million max contract to stay with the Indiana Pacers. Pacers President of Basketball Operations Kevin Pritchard and General Manager Chad Buchanan presented the max offer to Siakam and his agents, and shortly after the NBA's new early contact rules allowed for teams to begin negotiating extensions and free agent deals with their own players. Siakam's just 30 years old and plans to sign the deal once the league's free agency moratorium ends shortly after the 4th of July. Siakam arrived, of course, this season on a blockbuster deal with the Raptors back in January and played an immense part in the franchise's run to the Eastern Conference Finals. Siakam, a great pairing with Tyrese Halliburton, and the Pacers now have Halliburton and Siakam under contract through 2028 and 2029 respectively. Siakam deal would rank second in Pacers history to the five-year, $245 million max extension signed by the former Iowa State star Halliburton last year. Siakam averaged over 21 points per game and shot 55% from the floor upon arriving in Indiana. So a good signing, a no-brainer signing for the Pacers, which you're talking about teams in the Eastern Conference and teams that might be able to have a word and compete with Boston depending upon how their offseason shakes out. Indiana's already got some star power. They got some balance. They got scoring at will down there in Indiana. Tune up the defensive side for sure, but that's a team that's not too far away from being right back to where they were this year. Eastern Conference Finals, flirting around that particular part of the postseason. I don't think they're a title favorite by any means. They shouldn't be labeled a big-time contender, but they certainly have some pieces figured out there in Indianapolis. That is our number one. Our number two is still ahead. Headlines and highlights and more. The identity crisis. Opportunity to win big today on the show. NFL news to come. Joe DeLeone of the Believe Podcast Network talking college and pro football. And of course, the good, the bad, the ugly. It's all ahead on this Wednesday edition of Overtime.